This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
It's the simple things that are oh so marvelous. With rich, creamy, non-dairy Planet Oat oat milk. Like coffee, the first cup mixed with a little Planet Oat, that's pretty marvelous. Or Planet Oat in a bowl of cereal, sharing a laugh on Saturday morning. But don't forget about Mom's Planet Oat mac and cheese. It's so ooey gooey. Yep, there's so many moments that are more marvelous with Planet Oat. Rich, creamy, non-dairy oat milk. Oh, what a planet.
Welcome to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Danello. This is our initial reaction show to Fulham's 0-0 draw against Southampton. Emilio, another 0-0 draw. I never thought I would say that following Fulham, but now we have two 0-0 draws, and it's quite crazy. But we have a lot to talk about. I want to go right to you. Give me your initial thoughts on this draw. And Emilio, I put it here in our open here. Fulham earned another point. We could talk about who edged it. You know, you said offline you believed that Southampton edged it, but you know what? I thought Fulham deserved the point. Maybe not the victory, but deserved the point.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, let's begin the season. These are sort of games you sort of you earmark to not lose and try
That's
to get,
right.
you know, try to you know, that shows progress. And I know a lot of our fans keep getting frustrated with saying we're making progress but not turning draws into wins. That's what, four consecutive draws, which I'll take because we've had a hard run of fixtures.
I will take it.
We've had, what, 9-10 years of that, a 0-0 draw at home. Now we've had two back-to-back. But to your point, you know, we haven't conceded again. When's the last time we've conceded in open play in any match? You know, I've lost count. It's Man City a month ago or so. So
that's right.
But overall, it was two evenly matched teams. It's certainly in the first half. I thought we matched them in the first half. You know, neither side looked threatening in that first half, but it was defenders on top, you know, good passages of play at times from Fulham. There was some good, neat one-touch passing at times, but we still lacked a bit of cutting edge in that final third. It was quite
totally agree.
You know, our final ball was a bit harried, a bit rushed, a bit, sometimes a little bit more composure, a little bit more quality wouldn't go amiss. But, you know, we've matched a very good Southampton team, let's be very honest. They're a team that are capable of beating all the top teams in the division. So the fact that we came away with a point, another point on the board. But overall, you know, second half, I think Southampton were the better team. They looked more dangerous, more threatening. VAR rightly ruled out their two goals, you know, for offside. And, you know, but at the end of the day, we didn't really do enough to win that game. I thought they were there for the taking, where they've had three key players out today for various reasons. But, you know, I keep going, I hate hearing my own voice, but I've said it for a year. We need a striker. We haven't got enough striker there. And today, it was quite clear that we were lacking in the final third, to be honest. But overall, we matched Southampton. They struggled to score against us.
Yeah.
And it's a well-earned point, but we didn't do enough to win the game. That maybe that's a slight disappointment. We didn't really make substitutions early enough. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Because
overall,
I want to talk about the substitution.
But okay. We need to start converting draws into wins if you're going to, you know, to give us any chance to survive. But it's one point closer to our end goal, I guess.
Okay, great. And to be honest with you, Emilio, I agree with you. You and I were just talking before we went live, and I said, I'll take the point. It's an earned point. They didn't do enough to win the match. I think we can agree with that. I do want to talk about bringing on Mitro Sole. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when I look at this, and if you would have told me before the match that we would have gotten a point, I would have taken it. So, again, that's the way I'm looking at it. I believe I predicted a 1-1 draw. I'll take another 0-0 draw. It's funny because I don't think this was a boring match at all. I know that there are some that might feel that it was boring, but I just thought it was two teams canceling each other out.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. And my biggest takeaway, and I want to go right to this. Here's my biggest takeaway because I want to get yours, okay? Because this is my biggest takeaway from the match. Fulham matched themselves against one of the better teams in the division. Let's just say it right now. Southampton are on the rise. I know that they had players out. So does Fulham. You know, if you look at it, you know, Fulham still have players coming back. But, you know, they had three players out. Doesn't matter. Fulham showed me, Emilio, once again, that they belong in this division. And I think that they are making strides in this division. And when you play a team like this, they did not look out of place. No. And that, to me, is my biggest takeaway, is that they've gone head-to-head with some of these teams now, and they don't look out of place. They look like they belong.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at your colleague, Mr. Jedi, the Master, Boggis takeaway, just a little of a Goldman there on the headline there.
What?
It's just a spelling mistake. That's
quite... there you go. Of course.
Look, you know, again, it's let's be honest. You know, it was like you said, both teams cancelled each other out. First half, I think. You know, I think we slightly edged us. You know, speaking to a couple of people offline at half time, we thought maybe we didn't do enough. I thought first half, first 20 minutes, we looked quite good. We were passing the ball neatly, getting down the flanks. I thought Loftus-Cheek looked quite, you know, had a decent first half of the first half, if that makes sense, making some good runs down the flank. But overall, we're lacking that bit of quality, aren't we, sometimes? Just creating those killer passes. You know, sometimes the final ball was a bit disappointing. You know, I think Lookman, I think there was a couple of times in the first half, he should have passed instead of going for goal and vice versa. So again, just a bit of the decision-making needs to be a little bit better at times, and maybe less harried with our crossing and our passing, and just being a little bit more intelligent when you've got the ball and not giving the ball. We gave the ball away a little bit too cheaply in possession as well at times, which is uncharacteristic for the last few games. In the last few games, we've been a lot tighter. But on another day, you know, I think we were a little bit too generous in parts, giving the ball away cheaply at times, especially in that second half. Yep. And we were crying out for substitution. So I don't think there is the biggest takeaway for me for this match. I just think it's the fact that we've kept another clean sheet and we know we can compete against a top six, top eight team. Right. But it's converting those good performances, those good defensive performances, into 3 points. That's what we're missing at the moment. We're not creating enough opportunities to kill games off, or at least take the lead and protect that lead. That's a worry for me. But overall, you know, it's a good solid game, a good performance all around. But it's only given us 1 point. So we've got to go to Tottenham on Wednesday night, and hopefully we can, you know, compete as well. But you know, these are the games where we need to start grabbing 3 points. I thought at the beginning of the game, a point would have been a good result. But when I saw the lineup from Southampton, I actually thought this was a game we could win. I just don't think we sort of took advantage of the fact that they had three key players out for various reasons, and we didn't make our substitutions quickly enough to actually just make things a little bit different, change things a bit. It was a bit predictable at the time, shall we say.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm just going to share this because you don't have a big takeaway, but I'm just going to share because there's a theme here in some of our comments. The need for another striker is clear and has been said many times. Giannis chimes in, and Giannis has been saying this. Need a striker, though. And, you know, again, I keep going down the comments, and a lot of them are going to say this. Forward required. You know, I'm agreeing with all this, and if you look back at the match, and that's something that definitely comes out of it, Emilio, for all the positive play, it was the final third, but they definitely need someone that can put the ball in the back of the net. And this has been your concern for the entire season.
Yeah, and before that, as well, even last season, I thought we didn't have enough.
Same thing, yeah.
You know, same thing.
That hasn't changed.
This is not. It's not a nothing new, you know. But overall, it's 1 point closer to your end target, but we're starting to run out of games. That's, you know, we've still got what 23 games to go. There's still opportunities, but it's these home games that we need to start converting into wins and start pushing up the leaderboard. Burnley will inevitably get stronger. Their home patch will, I think, will likely keep them in division. That's their fortress, isn't it? If they start to win at home week in, week out, they're going to push away. So it's looking tight at the bottom, but there are lots of, you know, interesting talking points today, but overall, yeah, it's a point's a point. But I just maybe we should have been a little bit more adventurous in the second half, making those substitutions. And you look at the stats, they clearly suggested Southampton on top possession wise, passing, they look more dangerous, more threatening, and we did very little to respond. And that's probably my biggest takeaway. We didn't respond enough quickly enough, to be honest. But putting on Mitrovic for 10 minutes, to be honest,
not enough time, my friend, not enough time. And we'll talk about that because that was something that I want to really get into. But let's just talk about the first half, and then we'll talk about the second half, because I agree with you. Southampton were better than Fulham in the second half. You talked about all the stats, and they will back that up. But let's talk about the first half, because I really thought that Fulham were even with Southampton, and I was happy with the performance in the first half, even though they were not able to really create anything in the final third, like you said. Your thoughts on the first half, just in general?
Yeah, I thought certainly the first 20, 25 minutes, I thought we looked more organised and better. I think we looked a little bit sharper than Southampton at the time. I thought they maybe still had a Christmas Day hangover from the food and all that. But Robinson got forward quite a lot. Again, his crossing could have been a little bit better at times. Again, I thought sometimes he had more time on the ball than he thought. And maybe instead of rushing the cross, he should have just taken a moment to position a ball and get a decent cross into the box. I said earlier, Lookman, there was a moment where he should have passed to Robinson. Instead, he went for goal.
Yes.
And there was another moment when he should have actually went for goal and he actually passed it. So, again, poor decision-making.
Decision-making is not the best.
In the key moments.
Yes.
I thought Anguissa looked strong. He looked solid, made some good runs. I don't know. I'd like to see what people think. I thought Loftus-Cheek looked strong in that first 20 minutes. He made some good runs, good touches, good passing. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of criticism from fans saying he actually added no value, but you actually looked his off the ball running. He actually did quite well in that first 25 minutes. Again, not contributing into anything significant, but those, you know, that it's all about keeping possession. I thought in the first half we kept the possession a lot better and we passed the ball more neatly, but without necessarily creating any decent chances, to be honest. I think the Anguissa miss again.
Yep. Let's talk about that, because that was a very good opportunity for Fulham.
Yeah, if anyone else was there, maybe would have had an opportunity to hit the target, to be honest. And I think it's, you know, he. That's not his favourite position. Has he scored for the club yet? I don't think he has scored for the club yet. And that probably shows why, to be honest. Well,
a great opportunity, Emilio.
Yeah. And I keep saying it regularly as well. Those half chances, you've got to take them or make the keeper work hard for them. And we didn't do that today. So overall, good opportunity, missed kick, chance goes begging. But anyone else, they might have done a lot better. But overall, I thought the first 25, 30 minutes we looked good. But Southampton slowly came into it. They were passing it a lot more neatly. We were, harried into making sloppy passes. We get giving the ball away at times cheaply. And the free kick that we conceded for Ward-Prowse, that was naivety there. You don't concede there, as far as I'm concerned. You know what he's capable of doing. But that was our naivety, and you know he was looking for that foul in a good position. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And let's talk about that. That's a good transition. Let's talk about this, because when I saw this, I'm like, oh, here it comes. Because we're talking about this, me and Giannis do not give James Ward-Prowse an opportunity in this match. And he had several. This was the best one. And when I saw this, when I saw the replay, at first I thought it just hit the crossbar and the post. But when I watched it back, Emilio, it looked like Areola had a hand in it.
Yeah, he did. Just looked like, you know, it just got a couple of fingertips to it again. Yeah. It probably made the difference. Would it have sneaked slightly into that top corner? Possibly, but overall, going to give the goalkeeper credit. Great free kick from Ward-Prowse. And we said before the game, don't give him a snip of a chance in that position. And, you know, that again, I think it was Harrison Reed who conceded. So again, he didn't have the best first half again. I thought, you know, I'm going to say this again. He worked hard. He ran his socks off. But Lamina...
Did we miss Lamina?
I'm changing my view on him, because I'm starting to see some good professional performances for Lee Mina. I thought Harrison Reed showed why, you know, it works hard, solid, naive free kick to give away there. And he looked slightly, you know, I don't know, he looked off the pace today, Harrison Reed, to be honest, but to get his former club. But overall, Raiola did get his fingertips onto the ball, and, you know, that kept it out. But overall, even first half. But I thought we didn't push on in the second half. So we ended to half time. I was content with a 0-0 scoreline and thought we'd push on and actually take advantage of that. But, you know, clearly we didn't do that.
Okay. Before we talk about the second half, let's go back and talk about another moment that supporters are talking about. And I just watched the replay of this. Should Fulham have gotten a penalty? Let's talk about this situation in the box. I watched it back. I don't know, because again, it's all of the handball situation. It can go either way. What are your thoughts when you saw this, Amelia?
You know, again, I'm not going to sort of sit on the fence here. I always keep saying I don't know enough about the penalty rule, what constitutes a penalty and not. You know, we've seen some decisions go our way, some not go our way. Some decisions look controversial. For me, it just looks the inconsistency. I know Steve Lydiard's on at the moment, but there was a couple similar moments I saw where I think it was Loftus-Cheek. He got penalised for handball.
He did.
In a similar situation where we didn't get a penalty for the incident that you're referring to. So again, it's consistency. If one's a free
kick, Steve's response.
Yeah. So if it's either both are free kicks or penalties or not. It just feels like there's inconsistency there. For me, I haven't seen it more than once, to be honest. It looked probably 60%, 70% of penalty, but then I don't know enough, Steve, about the rules, what constitutes a penalty or not. There's been so much controversy, and it is ruining the game at the moment. But then, like I said, Loftus-Cheek, he handled the ball, and he was penalised for that. And so either both are handballs or neither are handballs.
Be consistent, Emilio.
Be consistent. That's my point, really.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Coming up next, Emilio and I are going to talk about the second half, and we'll end with Man of the Match. That should be an interesting conversation.
Mm. Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Okay, Emilio, let's now go to the second half, and let's just start with your analysis of the second half. We obviously have a lot to talk about in regards to it. Just give me your thoughts of Fulham and Southampton. You've already said this, and I'll back you on this. I thought Southampton were the better side in the second half, but Fulham hung on, and there were decisions made that I think that we can look at. We're talking about the substitution of Mitro. Maybe they bring him on earlier. Maybe that changes things, and I saw a comment from Steve Reynolds talking about the 60-minute mark. I'll share that in just a little bit after we go through your analysis. But just give me your overall thoughts on the second half. We're certainly going to talk about how VAR helped Fulham twice. And we're going to talk about the opportunity from Mitro at the end of the match. And, of course, you also have the Cav miss, which, again, was a very bad miss. But just give me your overall thoughts on the second half.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I just say, you know, Southampton, you know, defended well. You know, they were strong in that second half. They came out with a lot more aggression, conceding a few. You know, they looked a little bit niggly at times, I thought. But then they're a good team, Southampton. But we didn't really pose them any threat really in that second half, other than that Caballero miss. You know, I think Stefan Mikolev, you know, said, well, you know, we complained about VAR last week, but we can thank VAR this week. And I think that's the point I made against Newcastle. Decisions even themselves out at the end of the season, even though both goals were rightly ruled off for VAR. You know, for me, we didn't really do enough. I thought on the hour, clearly Southampton were on top, significant possession stats in their favour. They were literally putting a lot of pressure on our defence. Yes, we defended well and looked very organised, but we offered very little offensively. And I think that's the time to change it. But we just left it too late, and that played into Southampton's hands. They admitted they didn't make any substitutions until late, so it was a very evenly matched game. Overall, they were the better team second half, and if anyone was more likely to score, it was going to be them. I think how many chances did we have on target today? That's a concern for me. You know, home against a team 0-0, we just need to be a little bit more brave at time, make those substitutions for better for worse. But we didn't do that, and making those subs late in the day, I think were pointless, in my opinion.
Okay, and let's go to that right now, because and I'll share a graphic, but I'm just looking for the comment from our friend Steve Reynolds, because I think this says it all, and I agree with Steve on this. Mm-hmm. So let's start here, because we're going to talk about the substitutions, talk about Mitro coming on late in the match, and again, I think he should have come on earlier.
Yeah,
should have changed things after 60 minutes. We were going nowhere. Steve's right on this. I actually agree with Steve. Your thoughts, Emilio?
Yeah, I agree. And the interesting thing is, Robinson had a lot of space down, you know, throughout the whole game. Yeah,
he did.
You know, who was he crossing to? There was no target man to cross to. So interestingly, different tactics against Liverpool. Even though we're trying to still play with Cav up front, you know, he wasn't really in the game, was it, Cavalera today? It just wasn't the game. We didn't get the chance. Southampton defended very well, and I'm going to give them credit for doing that, but Cav should have been taken off after 60 minutes. Put Mitro on there. And you had Robinson had at times acres of space and decent crosses. And the one cross he did get on top, you know, to the right man, he went to the wrong person, to Cavalera, who headed wildly over the bar, to be honest. That just goes to show we've got no quality up front at the moment. But coming on with 10 minutes to go is pointless. As I've said, it's pointless, to be honest. And
right.
You know, at the end of the day, I think on the balance of play, you look, there was an opportunity there for the taking. Southampton 0-0, three regulars not starting, you're in the game, we've got a decent bench there, use it, change it. You know, but I just thought we were just a little bit too
conservative.
Yeah, too conservative.
Absolutely.
And I think on the balance of play, yes, it's a point you'll take, but in hindsight, I thought actually you should have been a little bit more braver and try to get all three.
Well, that's a great point, Emilio, and I think it all goes back to talking about bringing on Mitro so late. Uh-huh. Now, Scott Parker was not at Craven Cottage, but I believe he was in contact with Stuart Gray and Mr. Wells. And my thought is, as Steve said, why not be more aggressive? Why not go for the win? And if you're going for the win, usually a good time to do that, to make changes, to change the game, is around 60 minutes. Yeah. Why did they decide to wait until after the 80th minute? That's the point that I don't understand. Because were they just trying to see? It seemed like to me, I'm not saying that they played for the point, but they were not doing enough to try to get all three points.
And similarly for me as well, you know, and you haven't seen Chris Davidson on here, but I thought when those stats were hugely in favour of Southampton, we were getting overrun in midfield. That was a good opportunity to bring on Tom Kearney, you know, bring him on just to steady the ship, you know, hold possession, don't give the ball away cheaply. He may not go... You know, obviously we know his limitations, but I think we would have controlled the midfield a little bit more comfortably than we did. I thought Southampton were getting past our midfield a little bit too easy. And take Harrison Reed off, put Anguissa further back in front of the city, in front of the back three, back five, and then put Tom there just to hold possession. But I just thought we were getting overrun in midfield a little bit too easy, and that's why they were more direct, weren't they?
They
and,
were.
You know, admittedly, both goals were disallowed, rightly so, but that was a time you also bring in Tom Kearney, just to steady the ship and just control that midfield, because I thought we were getting exposed in that central midfield.
Okay, well, I'm going to share a bunch of comments because there are some good talking points. Let's start here. This is from Dave Lewis. Agrees, 60 minutes, we were floundering for possession, and Mitro should have come on then. TC for RLC at that stage. Thoughts, Amelia?
Yeah, I think that's the point I was making about bring on Tom Kearney. I thought I'd just steady that ship and control that midfield. We were just getting a little bit overrun in midfield. Loftus-Cheek was running out of legs, to be honest. I thought, I said, the first 30 minutes of the game, he looked strong, he looked good, but then he sort of faded quite quickly. So I don't disagree with that. I think it was time to make a double substitution, or at least put Tom on first to hold, you know, control the midfield, and then start building from midfield, and maybe then start to maybe bring on Mitro after 70, 75 minutes. But overall, I think we lost a trick there. We should have just been a little bit more braver with our substitutions.
Okay, and I'm just going to share a couple more comments. We play at home and we seem to be playing for the draw. Now, I don't know if they were playing for a draw. I just think that they just were not aggressive enough earlier in the second half. I don't think that Scott Parker and his staff were playing for the draw. I understand where he's coming from, because it seems like that, because they did not make the substitutions until late. What are your thoughts about that?
I still think it sometimes, you know, especially look at that first half on the balance, you know, that we had a lot of the ball. We were getting ourselves into good positions, but for me, it's that lack of quality when it counts, that final ball, that decision-making, that good cross. You know, that's not about playing conservative or trying not to lose a game. That's just we haven't got enough quality in offensive when it counts, to be honest. Yep. And again, Newcastle, the same last week, first half. Put aside the controversy about the penalty. If we'd taken our chances first half, that game would have been out of sight. So for me, it's just it's that lack of quality in the final third. That composed
totally agree.
A pass that splits the defenses up. We haven't done that very often in recent games.
No,
we're not looking like conceding very often. But where are those beautiful passes around the box? Those shots in on target. The keeper has to make a
save. See, I think we could have used Tom Kearney in this game.
Yeah, you know,
I do.
So that's the difference for me. So it's I don't think so much about not wanting to lose a game. I just think we just haven't got enough quality in that final third when it counts. A, we haven't got a strike, and B, we haven't got enough quality balls in the key areas. And decision making, I still think at times needs to improve.
Okay, I'm going to share a couple more comments, and we'll move on. Let's look at this one right here. Now, this is an interesting one. Why not bring on Cabano earlier? Now, I like Cabano. Cabano is hardly featured. I don't know if Niskins is a Premier League player. Mm. What are your thoughts on this?
If anything, bring on Joe Bryan and get the balls into Mitrovic. If anything, you want to change it, but that might have been more, you know, at least you'd get some reliable balls into the box. Cabano, again, what's the point of bringing him on with 3-4 minutes to go? Pointless, in my opinion. You bring him on.
I see where you're going on that. You're looking for crosses in the box when you have Robinson and Bryan together. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, maybe put Bryan on for the last 10 minutes and you put Mitrovic on after 80 minutes. Bring Joe Bryan on there to get some decent balls. Try something different. What's Cabana going to do, to be honest? There's no disrespect to him. It's just he's not being given enough opportunity to make an impact on the game. Neither did Mitrovic, although he held the ball well a couple of times. Mitrovic, I remember when he, again, that's what he does best. And that snapshot just went wide, you know. But overall, you know, people are saying if Scott Parker was there on the sidelines, would he have made the change earlier? But as far as
what do you think?
I think, to be honest, like I think you were saying before, then all the technology now, he's probably got someone in his ear. He's probably passing a message back to Stuart Gray and the team to say, look, make the change here or don't make the change. I don't think those decisions were made any different if Scott Parker was there or not. I think Scott Parker was in their ear throughout the game and influencing the tactics. To be honest,
it's interesting, Stephen, to bring that up because, again, we have a feeling that he was in constant contact. If he was there, would he have made the decision quicker? I don't know. I think it's a good question, though.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Sure. And I just want to share this because this is from our co-host, Stephen. Steve, me and Steve, draws won't keep us up. And it's an interesting way to look at it. But the counter to that, and I have to go that because we have our co-host just going back and forth with us on this, and I'm looking for Max's. So, and actually, I'll just share this one from Max. Draws against Southampton. Well, what are your thoughts about our dueling co-hosts here?
I've said we need 6 more wins, at least 6 wins. So, you know, you could argue like some Burnley at home, Sheffield United at home, Newcastle at home, possibly West Ham, Wolves. They're the games, and possibly today as well. They're the games you've got to start winning at home and snatching draws here and there, you know, away from home, or not losing away to Burnley, not losing away to West Ham. There's a game you've got to start winning, but we've got to convert 4 consecutive draws into some victories now.
Totally agree.
But the Burnley game, which is more important, and Wednesday night's game against Spurs is very important, but stay fit, players, because the Burnley game is going to be a tough one. And
those
are fixtures you mustn't lose. I'd rather lose to Tottenham and beat Burnley, but it's going to go right down to the wire unless we can at least convert draws into victories. To Steve's point, but then I agree with Max. We've got to start. It's a point earned against a top 6, top 7 team,
and that's the way I'm looking at it. Yeah. And I'm glad that Max is bringing this up. I see where Steve's going on it, but you also have to look at who they just played. They played Southampton, who were flying, even though I know about the last match. Mm. But beyond that, they've had a very good season.
Yeah.
And Fulham went toe-to-toe with them and got a draw. I'm not so disappointed that they didn't get all 3 points because I think it's a good point. That's the way I'm looking at it. And I don't think they did enough to earn all 3 points. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
And let's be honest as well. The confidence is there. The players know that they're more difficult to beat.
That's
You know, that's you can see.
I heard that from the announcers throughout the match that this is not the same team from the beginning of the season, and the league knows it.
If you look at the way Anderson, Adebayo, how they defend, they've got an air of control, you know, of confidence in the way they play. They're able, you know, the way they're defending the ball, the way they're marshalling the ball, the liaison they've got between themselves, you know, they're talking to each other. And
you don't see the comedy of errors, Emilio. Yeah, that's all gone. The comedy of errors is gone.
It's how do you convert confidence in defense into, so unless have we got the confidence and ability to start converting you know, draws into wins. You know, the defense doing their job. Unfortunately, we have, you know, that's not their fault that maybe we have enough quality. I think Tony Carnevale is listening tonight. I'm sure he's already looking. I'm sure he knows that we.
Oh, he should be.
We've got a definitely should be. I mean, the performances suggest that, but you know, you lose away to Burnley, and then Max's point: if we lose, we don't win, we are down. I'm not sure that's necessarily true, but don't lose to Burnley minimum, and stay in touching distance with those guys. But we've, you know, at the end of the day, the defense are doing their job. It's bringing confidence. Areola's secure pair of hands, best goalkeeper we've had for many seasons, but we're not creating enough, and it's that's not the defense's problem, you know.
No, it's not. The foundation has been built. The defensive foundation is there. Now you have to convert it from the midfield to going up front to really doing some damage in the final third, which they're just not doing, Emilio.
No,
they're,
we're not.
They're just not doing it.
You know, what's our stats? I'd like to see what our stats are for the first four games versus the game subsequent to that. You know, our goal difference in minus 10 were purely because of those shocking defeats against Villa and Arsenal, those two awful performances. But at the end of the day, we are moving in the right direction. We've just got to have more belief that we can be more positive and assertive. And some of our fans saying, we're trying not to lose games. I don't disagree with that. I just think we're lacking a bit of quality where it counts.
I agree with that, and that's why the transfer window coming up, I think, is huge. And listen, I've heard commentary about this, and I agree with all of it. They need a striker. Mm. They need a goal scorer. They need a different type of striker from Mitro. I don't want to get rid of Mitro. I just want an alternative to play up front. You know, again, it's a long season, and I don't want them to get rid of Mitro, but I want them to bring in a pacey striker. Someone that can run onto the ball. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's someone out there and they should be trying everything that they can to get it. And if Tony Khan is listening, please just do everything you can to do that, because I think that is one of the missing pieces. You know, again, there'll be other pieces we could talk about in a few weeks' time. But right now, you know, and again, that is the glaring one. And I'm glad that we're talking about that, Emilio. Okay, a couple other things before we go. We have to talk about this because I think this is a talking point. I think if we don't talk about it, I don't think we're being fair. Let's talk about how VAR saved Fulham twice in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people won't like me saying this, but some go your way, some don't go your way. But let's be honest, there was no controversy about those two decisions. The right decision were made. VAR did its job. But you know, I was more worried about the Aina incident. It was VAR decided not to give it, but that I was worried. The commentator was suggesting that actually the referee was going to override the decision and VAR was going to give that as a penalty. But I was very, very worried at that point. But common sense prevailed. And, but it's ruining the game. You know, that's the thing. It's ruining the game. You know, it's all these decisions, especially around the handball rule.
You know, the handball one you and I have talked about is just ridiculous at this point.
But at the end of the day, it favoured us, but the right decision was made. There was no controversial decision there. VAR did its job correctly, so thank you very much.
But see, that's, to me, is one of the big reasons why VAR, I wanted it. Calls like that, right, Emilio?
Yeah.
And those are two calls that, again, without VAR, Fulham lose 2-0. Look at it that way.
Yeah, exactly. In a championship, that would have been 2-0, I guess.
That's what I mean. That's my point. My point is, we could talk about VAR, and I agree with talking about how it's not consistent, how there are so many flaws in it, and how they need to get it right. But honestly, if you want to look how it was intended to be used, it was, again, we saw it today with two calls that were reversed for and were the right decisions to be reversed. That's what I wanted VAR for.
I agree. But then at the end of the day, we've kept a clean sheet. You know, we haven't conceded an open play that for many games now, but it's play solidly against Tottenham, but prepare yourselves mentally for the Burnley game. I've seen some comments from Steve that we have to win at Burnley after our start games that keep you up. Don't disagree with there, but the minimum, you obviously don't lose that game. That's the minimum, you know. So, I agree with that. Probably go there to frustrate Burnley. Because that's a difficult. We haven't won there for 60 years or however many years now. So it's maybe now's the right time to do that.
I think right now is a perfect time. Yeah, if you're asking me to go to Burnley, and we'll talk about that, because I have this thing about it's been 60 years, it's been 75 years since we've done this, but records have been meant to be broken, my friend. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I've seen it. I've seen it in other sports, and I've heard all those cliches. It's been 30 years. It's been 25 years. Mm-hmm. Hell, I lived with 86 years of the Red Sox not winning the World Series, and they finally did. So records are meant to be broken. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah. Well, remember 2 years ago when, you know, when we were in the Premier League, we played Burnley away in January. I remember Schürrle scored a cracker of a goal to take us 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Within minutes, it was we were 2-1 down. And the same thing again. So it's a difficult place to go there. But at the end of the day, of course, I'm pleased we didn't lose today. But looking at Stefan's comments again, we are still in the relegations. And I agree with that. But it's a point earned against a very good team. But again, it showed where we got some limitations in quality, you know, being able to create chances and score for them. But overall, Southampton defended very well. So let's give them some
credit. They did, but it also, just like you said, it showed our defensive prowess coming on, but it also showed our deficiencies. Unfortunately, it really showed the deficiencies that we have going forward. And it was really on display. You know, just look at the Cavallero situation.
Yeah,
that just tells it all, because he should have scored there, Emilio. It was right there. It was right there on a plate, and he, you know, it goes over. You know, that's all we have to say. But listen, let's end with talking about man of the match. Here's your view on this. I've got a lot of Goldmans in this show. Okay, man of the match.
Difficult to pick one,
Live, share who you think is man of the match.
Difficult to pick one, to be honest, really. To be honest, there's a lot of, you know, solid performances there. I thought, you know, the two central defenders looked very, very strong. Areola, you know, if that's a top world-class fingertip save, you could argue that warrants, you know, some you know, respect. I thought Anguissa looked...
You know, I have to share that. I'm sorry.
For me, I thought... I don't know. I'm really stuck on this one over here. I don't think Anderson or Adebayo had much to do per se. They looked strong. They competed well. They didn't really give much away. But I thought Anguissa looked full of running, looked dangerous. You know, maybe he deserved that goal for that missed kick. But I'm going to give it to Anguissa, to be honest. So, you know, I think he looked a beast again, didn't he? And not afraid to come forward. But
okay, we have a few for Anguissa. I'm going to share them. Our friend Steve Lydia gives it to Anguissa, and Stefan gives it as well. But here's one that I want to go back to. How about this one? How about Robinson?
Yeah, again, it's inconsistencies with crossing. Some crosses are fantastic. Other crosses rushed, harried, and not enough quality. You know, and the other thing I want to call out today, I don't know what fans think, is, you know, set pieces, corners. Lookman, you've got to do better. You know, twice in the second half.
They went right to the goalkeeper, Emilio. He's got to do better. Do better.
And I'd like to see things changed a bit. So there were some games last season. Remember that, you know, we were always passing the ball short.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating fan. Now we're crossing the ball long and it's going straight to the keeper. So you've got to do better when you've got those opportunities from set pieces. You know, I don't think we're taking advantage of those opportunities. We've got big men who can score from set pieces. But, you know, Lookman, you know, again, didn't have his best game today. Didn't have his best game. Poor decision making, poor set pieces from corners. But overall, I think Anguissa for me. I think Robinson didn't do enough. Some good crosses. Yeah, Areola. Yeah, again, that's fingertip save, you know, kept us in. It was obviously, but overall, I thought the defence looked solid. Didn't really look threatened, per se. Southampton didn't do enough from open play to cause us problems. But Anguissa was a difference in midfield. But I thought if Kenny should have come on, I think it might have made a difference in the end result.
See, I agree with that, Emilio. And if Chris Davidson is listening, Chris, we wish that he came on, because I think he could have unlocked Southampton, because they were missing something, and it could have been Kearney. So that's actually a really good call there to talk about him. But again, I'm getting a ton for Anguissa. So I see where you're going. And actually, this is back from Stefan. To your point, he pulled a little hot and cold.
Just there were times when he could have been more composed and had a fraction of a second more time just to look up and get a good cross in. But sometimes it just doesn't look up and straight cross.
Yep.
And then you give the ball away. So today, I thought we just gave the ball away a little bit more cheaply than we have done in recent games. And I think that's where you needed Tom Kearney, just to steady the ship a little bit.
Okay. I have to share this, because I'm actually surprised this from Heather. The missed opportunities may send us down. Heather, you're usually so positive.
You know, we keep saying this. You've got to be more clinical, haven't you, I think, Heather? I think at the end of the day, you know, half chances, one chance in the game.
She's listening a lot to you, Emilio, because you're talking about all the negatives.
Yeah.
I understand. I understand, because she's frustrated. I get that, Heather. I totally understand. you're frustrated, and I understand why, because because there were missed opportunities here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I just want to share this as well. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, Heather thought that was funny. Okay, well thank you, Heather. Okay. Emilio, we really should wrap this up, and I want to mention we will have a Cottage Talk post-match show either tomorrow, which is Sunday, or the next day on Monday. We will have that. Before we go, any final thoughts?
Nothing other than what we said so far. It's four games unbeaten, another clean sheet. There are positives, but obviously fans want to see victory. So do I. So it's disappointing. I thought maybe we didn't do enough to win the game today, but not missed opportunities as such that we've missed glaring chances. I don't think we took advantage of a weaker Southampton team, and we didn't do enough to hurt them and to get anything from the game other than a draw. So overall, pleased with the point, but it could have been a lot different if we'd been a little bit more brave and less conservative with our substitutions. Who knows? Things could have been a little different. But it's another point on the board, another clean sheet. Good for confidence, good for morale. But, you know, we need to start seeing 3 points hitting the board very, very, very soon. Otherwise, to Heather's point and to Max and Steve's point, we're going to get maybe sucked into that relegation and remain there potentially. But I still think there's enough games there for us to do something about it. So I'm not overly concerned at this moment.
I think there are as well. And my final thoughts are this, Emilio, because again, when we look at a point, and I understand we're all looking ahead and we're all looking at, say, halfway. And there's still several matches before we get to halfway. And we're talking about the Burnley match. We have Tottenham coming up. We have Chelsea coming up. We have Manchester United. So you have these teams. Let's put Burnley aside. If you told me 2 months ago, Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, and Manchester United, I would tell you Fulham will probably get nothing. I'm here to tell you, why can't they get something? And I think the problem is that we've been conditioned to believe that Fulham can't get anything from the big sides. I'm here to tell you, why can't they? And they should have the attitude, even going away to Spurs, that they can get something from that match. Why can't they? I'll just say it. Why can't they? Why can't they get something from Chelsea? Are Chelsea unbeatable? No, of course not. They can be beaten. You can get points from them. And Manchester United, just watch Manchester United. Talking about hot and cold, I think they blow hot and cold sometimes. They look great at sometimes, and then other times they don't. So I think the opportunity is there. And I watched them draw against Leicester City. Fulham beat Leicester City. Why can't they get points off of Manchester United? So this attitude that we can't get points off the big teams, I'm completely disagreeing with everyone now. If you want to tell me that at the beginning of the season, yes. This team can get a point, can get draws, at least draws against all three of those teams. And they can. They have the ability to.
And I think the one point before we finish off, I think we have not made today, and we've not made in recent shows, is our style of football and the way we play is dependent on Fulham not conceding first.
That's true.
I think at the end of the day, it's all about control. Maybe sometimes we are a little bit conservative. We're trying to protect the draw, not to concede early and try to make something happen and try to get a goal on the break or get something on the counter-attack, whatever it may be. But what I do worry is if we go behind against Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, where's the quality to get an equaliser?
Come back from. I do agree with you on that.
That's the worry. That's the main worry for me. So, yes, we can.
That's a good point.
Provided we don't go behind. And what
we don't go behind? Listen, you're right. Front runners, Emilio, which is called what it is. We would call it here being a front-running team.
Yeah.
They play great from ahead.
Yeah.
Or even behind, not as much. And
that's the thing. That's the worry for me.
That's a very good point. Okay, before we go, I do want to mention again a shout out to Chris Davidson and also Roger Lewis, who, you know, again, I mentioned this in the last show. They're both dealing with some issues. Both were in the hospital. I'm not sure if Chris is still in the hospital or not. Hopefully he's gotten out of the hospital. Roger actually just sent me a great picture of himself getting a new Fulham shirt for Christmas. So great. That's great that your family did that for you, Roger. And we're thinking of you, and we're thinking of you, Chris. I just want to end with that. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk Full Time. For myself, Russ Goldman, and Emilio Deneau, thank you as always for watching Cottage Talk.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.